Morning, this is the Water Environment Committee. We're open for business. And happy President's Day to you all. First up, we have two committee bills, committee, that we would like to introduce and sponsor by this committee, Water and Environment. And the first one, I'd like to have Don Miner come up and present to us after Megan has described the bill.
This draft creates a tax credit for first owners or contract purchasers of dwellings that meet the super good sense of natural choice standards that are set by the Office of Energy.
Well, good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Some of us have all come to work today. I'm here on behalf of Oregon Manufactured Housing Association to request your introduction of this bill. This bill would create an $800 tax credit for single-family dwellings that meet super good sense or natural choice energy efficiency standards. These are the amongst the highest standards recognized, I think, anywhere in the United States, but certainly in the state of Oregon. These standards exceed the building code standards for single-family and manufactured dwellings. Our goal is to encourage folks to buy more of these homes, contribute towards saving energy, and make it a better place for everyone.
Can you describe, Don, what some of the manufactured homes are like right now that are on the market, the deficiencies in your opinion?
Well, manufactured home building standards were updated in about 95, 1996 maybe. The standards being proposed here go much beyond the building code standards for single family or manufactured homes. They deal with indoor air quality, thermal performance. They apply, as I said, to both gas and electric homes. It's not that there are deficiencies. The proposal here would take homes beyond the building code.
I see.
And the building code is generally considered to be that those to include standards that are cost effective to the home buyer. So this is something beyond what might be cost effective to the home buyer.
Further questions?
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. There is a section 8A that talks about non-residents. Does that mean that they could get the tax credit but not live in Oregon, or what is that meant to correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Lee, this differs a bit from the concept that we had submitted. Our intention was for it to only apply to homes sited in Oregon. So what may be intended there is to allow a person who has a home in Oregon but resides elsewhere to claim the tax credit.
Oh. Further questions?
Madam Chair?
Representative Morgan.
I'm familiar with the super good sense option, but what is natural choice option? What's that one about?
Madam Chair, Representative Morgan, it is the same thermal standards in a house that's heated by gas. The standards are the same. The thermal envelope standards are the same. The fuel source is different. So natural choice is the patented term that the gas industry calls it, super energy efficient homes.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Representative Morgan.
Madam Chair, I move that LC 3463 be introduced as a committee bill.
Okay. Representative Morgan moves that LC 3463 be introduced as a committee bill. Is there a discussion on the motion?
Just clarification, Madam Chair.
Sure. This means that a committee bill will come back, we'll have a public hearing, and be able to discuss the pros and cons.
That's correct. This will give us a bill number. We're able to make any changes in the LC draft that we want to make, and then we bring it back. We sponsor it, but it will have a regular hearing and a regular vote.
Further discussion? Those of the opinion that LC 3463 should be introduced as a committee bill will vote aye,
And those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Representative Hanson?
Aye.
Representative Jensen?
Aye.
Representative Story?
Excuse.
Representative Dean?
Excuse.
Representative Cruz?
Aye.
Representative Lee?
Aye.
Representative Mona Danielson?
Aye.
Representative Borman?
Aye.
Chair votes?
Both aye. Motion carries, and LC 3463 will be introduced as a committee bill. Okay, we have one other committee bill that we have already had a hearing on, and that you see before you is LC Draft 3471. And I don't believe that Jared's not here. He was escorting us through the process, but this is the Cougar bill that we talked about. We have taken it out of the damage statutes and put it into with a relating clause of relating to dangerous wildlife. That's something we added. And now we want to introduce this as our committee sponsoring this bill.
Madam Chair, point of clarification, is this the bill that emerged from the work group that you put together after we heard the first bill?
That is correct, Representative Morgan. And let's see, I don't see anybody from the work group. I was there. We all agreed. We had the Humane Society was there, ODF&W was there, the commission was there, Megan was there. Is that all? And I was there. Oh, and the sportsmen were there.
Are we in work session?
We have not yet made a motion. We're still in discussion.
I was wondering if we were in work session.
Yeah, we need to open a work session. Okay. Excuse me. I'm opening a work session on LC Draft 3471. Representative Cruz.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt LC 3471 as a committee bill.
Okay, Representative Cruz has moved that we adopt LC 3471 as a committee bill. Is there discussion on the motion? Okay, hearing none, those of the opinion that LC 3471 will be introduced as a committee bill will vote aye, and those opposed, no. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Hanson?
Aye.
Representative Jensen?
Aye.
Story?
Is excused.
Representative Dean?
Excused.
Representative Cruz?
Aye.
Representative Lee?
Aye.
Representative Mona Danielson?
Aye.
Representative Morgan?
Aye.
Chair votes?
Both aye. Motion carries, and LC 3471 will be introduced as a committee bill. Thank you, committee. We'll go on to our next closing the work session on these two committee bills. And I'm opening a public hearing on House Bill 2795. And Megan, will you read the description?
Sure. House Bill 2795 allows the creation of a sub-district composed of non-contiguous land within a water control district. And this particular bill only applies to petitions for the creation of sub-districts that are filed after the effective date of this act.
I'd like to call forward Larry Trocey, is that right? And Christina McNitt, you're coming with him. Welcome.
Good morning, I'm Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Christina McNitt, representing this morning the Oregon Water Resources Congress, and with me is Larry Trocey, the district manager of the Santiam Water Control District located in Staten, Oregon. House Bill 2795 was drafted at the request of OWRC and amends Chapter 553 in Oregon's statute relating to water control districts. At issue is the concept of allowing the creation of sub-districts composed of non-contiguous lands within an existing water control district. Current law provides for the creation of sub-districts when the owners of more than 50% of the acreage in any contiguous body of land located within a district desire to have that district take the construction or purchase of work and facilities that meet the statutory purpose criteria of water control districts. House Bill 2795 would allow the creation of sub-districts composed of non-contiguous lands within the boundaries of a water control district. The reason for that is that in today's agricultural environment, many farmers utilize a productive land base that's parceled out among urban sprawl. When districts are initially formed, landowners within contiguous boundaries are given the option to join the water control district and become a member. While the landowners may opt to be included, a significant number of landowners will also choose not to join. This results in a patchwork of land within a water control district, with some contiguous parcels interspersed with non-district land. The removal of the contiguous requirement in state statute would allow a district to make improvements when petitioned by members for that purpose, providing the landowners with another tool to improve the productivity of their land and maximize Oregon's finite water resources. In addition to urban sprawl, some districts include large tracts of private forest land and rangeland types of property. For example, the Bandon Cranberry Water Control District, which was created in Oregon in the mid-90s to develop water for cranberry growers on the coast. This district begins as a new golf course north of Tokyo and runs south to the Curry County line. The benefited properties are small and widely spaced out, so the only way to include them in the district was also to include the interspersed timberland. In order to make district improvements, more than 50% of the owners of that land within the district must support the project, even though many timberland and other properties have neither an interest nor do they benefit in such a project. House Bill 2795 would assist water control districts in providing services to their members without the costly undertaking of elections involving landowners who neither have an interest nor a potential benefit in a proposed project. I hope that makes sense. I managed to put a 1.5-page testimony together for a 4-page or a 4-word bill. And Larry Trocey can answer some questions as a practical manager of a water district.
Thank you, Chair Close, and members of the committee. For the record, Larry Trocey, and I manage the Sandyham Water Control District. This is a minor change to this area of the statutes. It's one that I think would benefit my district as well. There is a situation in our district. We have currently two sub-districts in our district, and in this situation with this change, I think it could fit an area that is a problem that is potentially developing down the road. Situation is that there is a incorporated area in between the two sub-districts, and so it could basically just leapfrog over and be a new sub-district would be created, or a continuation of the existing sub-district could be created. So it could actually benefit the landowners in the district by creating this sub-district.
Morgan. If this bill becomes statute, would it mean that the parcels that are currently within water districts that don't receive or have an interest in receiving services from the water district could be excluded?
Chair Close, Representative Morgan, I don't believe, no, they couldn't be excluded from that. They're within the district, and most districts basically only assessed for the services per se, but I don't believe they could be excluded from the service.
Representative Lee.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Larry, I'm thinking that in the past we've had a lot of discussion before some of the committees about irrigation districts who can exclude, and that may be a confusion because irrigation and other water-related districts can exclude, but water control districts can't under the statutes.
Representative Half.
I was just wondering if anybody knows the intent of the current law that didn't allow this, or what the point was there. Why was it this part of the original law?
Chair and Representative Hass, no, I don't believe I did. It's really, in essence, all this is going to do is going to, I think, speed things up, and rather than create a whole new sub-district that would just allow an existing sub-district to come in and use the same assessment level, and the different powers that the sub-district was created for the purpose of the sub-district. And so it would really be a much quicker process in trying to address an issue such as soil erosion or water use.
Madam Chair, Representative Haas, it was also explained to me that they're just changing times, that we're practicing the same production methods, but we have urban sprawl and more people that are less connected with what a lot of control district members may have or may need to produce. And so if there was an ability to create a sub-district that didn't affect those people, that's a management tool.
Would it be correct to say then that if they, is what you're saying, if they're in two separate pieces, not connected, then you have to do two separate plans and the management for two separate areas? This way you could economize? Would this be like an economy of scale?
Sure. In a sense, yes, yeah. It would. It would. I think it would be much easier to do in the sense that you would be able to keep the same assessments, the same incorporation papers, and that sort of thing, a corporation.
Further questions? Representative Monis Anderson.
Just a clarification. Thank you, Madam Chair. When you have these sub-districts, excuse me, will whatever they decide or whatever their plan is affect those that are part of the, what you say, urban sprawl? Is the water affected, like the water table, if there's more water that is drawn off for the other districts and those that are in the urban sprawl have wells? Is there a way for those people to communicate? Again, I'm new to how these water districts work.
Chair and Representative, yes, the boundaries of the sub-district, everyone within the boundaries of the sub-district would be able to vote, so to speak, on the purpose of the fund or the formation of the sub-district and the issues at hand with that sub-district. So they, you know, if in my case, they're created for soil erosion along the North Saniam River, we maintain revetments along the river for the protection of the land. And there may be 20 landowners inside of that sub-district. And all of them would have a say in how the projects that were done and the assessments that went along with that sub-district. Does that get to your answer or question?
A little bit, but I think these are questions I can ask outside of the meeting. Thank you.
It's a new area we haven't had before the committee before, so appreciate your answering all our questions. Are there further questions? Further comments?
Madam Chair, I don't know if it would help the committee, but I have a small visual aid. In the red would be a water control district, the boundaries of an existing water control district. And in the green are properties within the district that may benefit from a certain kind of project. Under current law today, more than 50% of the owners inside the red would have to vote to agree to undertake this project, even though clearly only the green spots are benefiting from it. So this bill would allow the green landowners to come together and form a sub-district, even though they're not contiguous, so they can fund and assess themselves on their particular project. The way current law reads, these green landowners would be assessed a project fee, but everybody else within the district might be assessed some overall management fee that they can't exclude themselves from. So if House Bill 2795 passed, then the people inside who really have no interest in what the green landowners are doing would not be responsible for assessments or that management.
Very good. That clarifies.
Thank you so much.
So simple.
I think that gets to your
yes,
question.
Yes, it did.
Awesome.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much. Is there anyone that did not sign up that wanted to testify on this bill? Okay, we have not scheduled this for a work session committee. We probably could have, but we will have to bring it back. And I appreciate your testimony, so I'm closing the public hearing on 2795. Is there anything else for the good of the committee? Welcome, Representative Safari.
Yeah.
And I'm Representative King, and we're adjourned.